Let's go back in time to 1932 as Converse brings you historic footage of the legendary original Celtics with whom all great professional teams are compared.
We have now taken over your radio.
Richie Guerin is about to show you the most important step in getting past a man. It's the first one.
And Oscar will inbound it. The men in green, the Milwaukee Bucks, that's Al Cinder against Bellamy.
Has Jordan. Allen shakes free. Gets two.
Gilmore.
Oh, big stop.
Oh,
brother.
Lead Toledo artist. You get 21.
4:28 to go in the first quarter for the Cal Palace. Here's Barry.
Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead.
Hello and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast. I am Jason Mann. With me as always is Rich Craich. Rich Craich, back with you.
Absolutely. Let's get going on this top 50.
All right. Yes.
We're almost done.
We are almost done. So next we have...
I don't even like basketball anymore.
Next we have Paul Pierce, who is a 24th all-time in win shares, 62nd in win shares for 48. 40th in box score plus minus, 22nd in value over replacement player, a one-time All-NBA second team, three times on the third team, the 2008 Finals MVP, one season in the top 10 in win shares for 48, three seasons in the top 10 in value over replacement player. In the Bill Simmons Book of Basketball Pyramid, he is 47th all-time. In a Slam, he is 77th of all-time. He is, you know, really one of the best shooting guard small forwards ever. Reputation for hitting big shots in key moments. Great longevity, tough defense, really strong advanced metrics. The for him, the weaknesses in his case, I think, are he has relatively few All-NBA teams. And really, I don't know if he was ever necessarily considered like a top five player. Maybe top 10 player, yes, but top five player, I'm not sure if really he ever quite seem to be, but the longevity is there to kind of carry his case, you know, to a stronger level than, you know, the other kind of contemporaries in the, you know, kind of the shooting guard small forward area. So it's an interesting case, a pretty strong one, I think. What do you think, Rich?
Yeah, it's real strong. And, you know, you mentioned when he was really the best, you know, one of the top five or one of the top 10 players or whatever. And a lot of that was in an era, or at least his early part of his career, where I would say, yeah, he probably was legitimately, you know, there maybe, you know, mid to early 2000s, you know, that 2001 to 2006. Or you could kind of make a case for a few of those years that he was there. But the problem was he wasn't winning at that point. He was just sort of, you know, he was on Boston. You know, they were a team that was, you know, routinely disappointing, you know, him and Antoine Walker, all those issues or whatever. And he was sort of looked at as a guy that, yeah, you know, he's okay. He scores a lot. He does this sort of stuff. And he's a good all-around player, but he's not a winner. You know, he doesn't do stuff that's going to win and all that sort of stuff. And then we look at a whole different career. Obviously, you bring in Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen to the Celtics. He sort of fits perfectly into that, you know, second best player on the team role, you know, in the finals, becomes probably their best player, you know, the MVP, you know, award that goes with that as well. Then he just has another 7 or 8 years where he's just a legit, like, good role player, good second hand, good third hand. It didn't really matter. Basically, any team you put him on, he's going to be at some point a value to that team in a positive way. And that's that. There's a lot of value in that. And there's a lot of, you know, all time greatness in that as well when you look at it, because you look at, you know, how he ranks in terms of era and position and position all time. And here's a guy who, despite never, as you said, probably being the best guy or whatever at any point, really grades out well. I mean, all-time era position, he's fifth in win shares, 19th in win shares per 48, and then fifth in value of replacement player. So that's era and position, sorry, if I didn't say that. And then rates position all-time, seventh in win shares, all-time amongst forwards, which is insane. Like, that's, I wouldn't think of that ever. 40th in win shares per 48, and then ninth in value over replacement player. So that's an all-time great, you know, as you said, shooting guard small forward. I mean, that's of a swingman. That's, you're looking at a top 10 guy, and a lot of those advanced stats and a lot of the stuff he does. So it's, he's got a great case, I think, and it's unique in that sense, because, yeah, I, you know, at age 30, would he, you know, we talked about Carmelo a few episodes ago, of a guy who right now we're going, you know, now he's not there or whatever. Paul Pierce is probably the same way. You know, it was that year 30 where he was able to win the championship. But if, you know, if we stretch it back to age 29, there's no chance we were saying, oh, yeah, he's definitely in the top 50. But, you know, he's had another decade to add to that resume, and he's still a valuable part of teams. So there's some cool value in that. I think he's a slam dunk for sure.
Yeah,
I think he's in.
He's similar to Carter, where, you know, we've talked about him before, where he aged well into the role of a role player and contributed. But I think even more so for, I mean, I think his case is stronger than Carter's, you know, to be honest. I mean, maybe you could argue Carter was a little bit better at his peak, but it was close. And, you know, and Pierce has been better since then and just has, you know, bigger playoff moments and, you know, the finals MVP and all that stuff. I think there's a strong case that he's in. I mean, he would be one of the very, I can't say for sure that he's in, but I think there's a good chance that he's in. So
I'm with you. Yeah. I think he, at least from some respect, he needs to be in that final discussion that we have. I mean, he's a guy that we cannot, like, we couldn't seriously have a top 50 list without at least having him be one of the, either on the list or one of the last guys we bounce out, because he's an all-time great. I mean, there's no other way around it. There's not a whole lot else you can say about him. And I guess that's sort of the definition of Paul Pierce is, like, you know, at the time while you're watching him, you kind of go, yeah, this guy's really good or whatever. And he might not be a guy that's fully appreciated until he's gone in that respect, where, you know, maybe it's 10 years later or, you know, stuff like this, where we're doing this podcast and really looking at his whole career and looking at, you know, the advanced stats and how he ranks, you know, amongst all those other people. He's an all-time great. I mean, there's really just no way around it. And it's interesting because I wouldn't, you know, I don't know if I think of him immediately, or, you know, if in 10 years somebody says, hey, who are the best shooting guard and small forwards ever? I feel like I wouldn't say Paul Pierce right away. And I don't know if that's fair or not.
Yeah. I think having the rivalry with LeBron helps a little bit. Being kind of the guy that you think of as one of the, you know, the main guys who, you know, battled against LeBron in the playoffs, kind of like how Dominique Wilkins is helped a little bit by having those battles with Larry Bird. It's kind of a similar type thing, even though Pierce had more team success than Dominique did. Anything else, Rich?
I think that's it for me. Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, there's not much more to talk about. Right, Paul Pierce. I don't know. Like, he's Paul Pierce. I don't know. It's just good. Like, you know what I mean? He's kind of, but he's really boring.
Yeah,
he's not.
The lack of all NBA teams is surprising to me, I guess. And, you know, we've talked about before.
I feel like he would have gotten some in those early 2000s. I really do. Yeah. But yeah,
the Celtics were pretty good then. I mean, they're
a perennial playoff team.
Didn't they make a conference finals like in 2002 or something? Or
did they? I think they did.
Yeah. I very briefly, because you know that I sort of had a dormant period in basketball where I wasn't really into it, but I had a very brief resurgence, like right around then, watching them during the playoffs, and I really liked Pierce. I didn't know they would torment my Hawks so much in the future, but then I didn't know that I would become a Hawks fan in the future either. So
it was 0-2. They were able to go to the Eastern Finals. They lost to the Nets 4-2, but they made it a pretty decent series. So yeah, that was
a series where they came back from when they were like down like 35 or something, and came back in like the fourth quarter.
Yes, yeah, that is. Yeah, I'm looking at the series as well. Yeah, decent back and forth series.
Yeah.
And yeah, Pierce played well. He 23 points, 8 rebounds.
Yeah.
Not bad. I liked Anton Walker at 22 and 9.
Yeah, I have a confession maybe that I actually enjoy watching Anton Walker play basketball.
There's a morbid curiosity to it. I mean, yeah, if you don't like basketball, he's great. In the terms of, no, I always enjoyed him too. I thought he got a lot of crap.
Yeah. But, he deserved a lot of it, but I do like, I mean, I don't want to like watch a lot of Anthony Walker.
I don't want him on my team. I'm glad that he's on other teams that aren't mine, right, or that he was on other teams that weren't mine.
He was on my team briefly. So,
you know, the
0-4, 0-5 Hawks that I,
oh yes, you know, I've heard, yes, of them. Yes.
I've heard about them. It's been too long since we brought them up, but you know, he was on that team. So, and in fact, he was traded back to Boston, in which he netted us a draft pick that went a bunch of places and ended up being Rajon Rondo. So,
to be fair, the Suns gave away that pick too.
They did. Yes. Yeah. So the Suns got it.
At least got something out of it.
Yeah, the Suns got it in the Joe Johnson trade. We got Joe Johnson for that pick.
Right.
And then eventually the Suns gave it back to Boston. So it was the Lakers pick at some point too. In fact, I think it may have originally been the Lakers pick. So
it's my favorite thing in the world is the basketball reference. Follow this draft pick as it goes out through history. One thing I did notice, unfortunately, I'm glad I will not be going back anytime soon watching the 2002 Eastern Conference Finals. The Boston Celtics in the series shot 38%.
Ah.
So yeah, that's 2002 Eastern Conference basketball for you there. And the red hot New Jersey Nets, they shot 43%.
Kenny Anderson was on that team too, I believe.
Was he?
I believe.
Yeah, he was. Oh, there's Kenny.
Yeah, there's a lot. There were Tony Delk was on that team. There were a lot of 04 Atlanta Hawks on that team. Because yeah, Tony Delk, Kenny Anderson, and Anton Walker all played for the Hawks 2 years later. It's weird that a conference finals team could be on a 13
win. One of the worst teams ever.
Yeah, 2 years later. It's basketball is a funny thing. So
these rosters are really bad.
Oh yeah, Drew Johnson was on there too. He was traded in the middle of that year, but
he was
a rookie that year. Ah, I forgot about that. There you go.
This Nets team is just, oh man, I remember this team. It's like, oh, it's fine, it's okay, but it's just like, man, really, that made the finals?
Yeah.
Like, Jason Kidd, Gary Kittle is your second best player. Like, that's hard. Kenyon Martin, Keith Van Horn, Lucius Harris, Aaron Williams, Todd McCullough. Like, Richard Jefferson hadn't really become like a real good player by that point. Yeah. But
Scott Brady's in that team.
Yeah, he is.
Aaron Williams. Good times.
I'm not going to. Let's not do an early 2000s Eastern Conference retrospective podcast anytime
soon. Okay, I promise you I will not ask.
Okay,
you.
I know it was on the list, but can we take it off?
All right, we'll take it off.
Okay.
Strictly from the record. Actually,
All right,
everyone, you can check us out at hardwoodparoxysm.com, and we are part of the HP network. You can find all the podcasts on the network or just our feed. Both of those are on iTunes, and we'd appreciate a rating review on that. That would be awesome. If you like us, it helps other people find us and helps us get more popular, and we are all striving for more popularity. Let's see. We also are on Facebook and Twitter at Over and Back NBA, and we also have a website, overandbacknba.com, a forum in which you can talk about classic basketball to your heart's content. We encourage you to do so. It's a lot of fun to do. And we also have a NBA history newsletter that we've started. Every week we're going to be sending out the newsletter to those who wish to have it. We're kind of rounding up what's going on in NBA history, interesting articles and podcasts and such. So you can check that out. We have a post on overbacknba.com where you can find all of the information for that. So until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll be back again soon.